pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Brody, is that you?
It's me in the flesh.
We've both grown our beards out. I guess we're going to have to shave now. We're back with a podcast, and we'll explain where we've been, why we've been missing in action. Thank you to those that donated and put us on a milk carton. We're safe. We're yes. sound. And we have things to say, particularly about our great football club, Memphis 901 FC.
Could you say that again? Just the great part again. This is fun.
It is fun. We have a fantastic team. And see, it's been so long, we even forgot to even intro the show the way we were supposed to. But screw it. It's ours. It's My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
When you're buying or selling a home, it can be one of the most stressful times of your life. When you're purchasing a home, it's one of the biggest investments you'll ever make, and you want to get it right, and you want to know that you got it at a fair price and not have buyer's remorse as you're moving those boxes into the house. If you're selling, you want to make sure you get a good price for it, and you're able to move on quickly and move on to your next stop in life. I'm Tim Van Horn, licensed realtor in Tennessee and Mississippi with Cry Like Realtors. My number is 901-756-8900 in my office, or you can always call me on my cell at 901-262-5000. I'm relocation certified, and whether you're moving around the block or around the world, I can help you get where you're going. If you're thinking of selling your home, give me a call. I'll put together a marketing plan that'll help you put that sold sign in the front yard faster. If you're thinking of buying a home, give me a call or check me out online at timvanhorn.com for a personalized home search. And I never, I mean never, charge a fee to work with buyers. So give me a call at my office, 901-756-8900, or on my cell at 262-5000. You can always find me on the website at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com. For Tim Van Horn, Cry Like Realtors.
We physically, biologically develop tolerance for addictive chemicals and behaviors. Yes, you know, you need more and more of a behavior to get the effect. You need more and more of a drug to get the effect. That's called tolerance.
No sheep left behind. An hour of perspective and information about professional counseling from a biblical worldview. Helping you and the local pastor link arms with professional Christian counseling and rescuing the one who is stuck in despair. And for the typical Christian, needing more resources to learn how professional counseling within a biblical context can be the solution they're looking for.
It's frustrating because you're watching someone throw their lives away and it's really not effective, but yet they're locked into it because it's fear-driven and they really feel like this is like the only solution.
For more episodes, search No Sheep Left Behind on your favorite listening platform.
Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
Man, I know it's been a minute or two, but, you know, we figured, hey, let's let the schedule play out and let the wins rack up. That's exactly what we were thinking, right?
To be fair, we didn't want to jinx it. That was what's going on. Like, I think a couple weeks ago, you were like, do we do a show? I mean, we're winning right now. I mean, do we jinx it? And my, you know, kind of psyche started playing into that going, yeah, you know, I wear the same jersey. I don't wash my jersey when we win. You know what I mean? Like, I'm that type of guy. So,
well, I'm looking, you know, our points total is just a few points off of what we had for all of last season, which is a record-breaking year. Yeah. And we still got like 6 or 7 weeks to go. And I'm like, well, you know, we're doing well and we're laying low. And, yeah, you know, let's not step on the foul line. And, you know, let's bounce the basketball 3 times at the free throw line, spin it backwards, do a squat. You know, maybe we just let the excellence play out.
Yeah.
Oh, it, man, how you been doing?
Man, good. And that's the thing. I've been doing really, really well, enjoying some really good soccer from Ben Pearman and crew.
Yeah, they've been really good. I mean, Memphis goes into this weekend matchup with Pittsburgh. I mean, these guys are top 4, top 5 yep. teams easily, and they're going to to be there right at the end of the season. And either one of them could actually pick up some steam and win the whole conference. So, you know, this weekend is a big match in the fact that they're both so very close to the top. And I feel like the first time around, we didn't really get to see the best of 901, because if you'll remember early on, we had a situation where they were down to 10 men and then from then on out, it was just basically let's play catch up in the very first match of the season. So, you know, maybe we get to see a little bit more of a competitive match this time around.
Yeah. 10 men in the first like 5 minutes of the match. So, I mean, you're right. And going back to the points situation, I mean, as of right now, as of this recording, Lose City is in first place with 49 points. To put that in perspective, Memphis 901 FC in third place with 45 points. Who are the opponent this weekend? Pittsburgh Riverhounds at 43 points. Birmingham Legion in the top five at 41. So, yeah, I mean, you want to talk about point spread here. It's anybody's, we'll just say, league right now in the conference any given week.
Oh, sure. Sure. At this point, there's not a whole lot separating the best teams. And, you know, a nagging injury here or there or a bad bounce drops you from first to third, second to fourth, et cetera. Right. And the fans really went out on this, but it really hit, man, the stress level, though, it's killing me.
Yeah.
We're not used to, you know, after the first two seasons, we weren't used to this. We're having to get used to, you know, this positive kind of stress.
Right, right. This is weird. But you brought up injury. So can we talk a little bit about nagging injuries on this club? I mean, we just saw the return of Laurent Kissiadou, and in very limited minutes. It's good to see him out on the pitch. Let's talk Laurent Kissiadou's return. I think we need to bring it up because he looked good in the minutes that he's played.
Yeah, yeah, and he looked really good. And I was out at practice on Thursday and got to talk to Ben for a good bit. And the big thing that I saw was that the full roster then – and I think he even told me this and told the media this, that this has really been a week to recover and get well, because with two matches, you had guys that got banged up pretty well, because, you know, heading into the match with Pittsburgh, you're not going to have Niall Logue. You're not going to have Derek Dodson. Now he's tried to go,
yeah,
but he is out with an ankle issue. And of course, you know, John Berner is still recovering from the recovery surgery that he had on his Achilles. So you've got that. And then you've got some other guys that are maybe a game time decision. And I'm just wondering, is he having, you know, difficulty filling the bus heading to the airport to get enough for the match day roster at this point? Because remember, you lost three of your academy guys went off to college.
Yeah, they went and headed
back to school.
Yeah, they went to graduate. I mean, you know, a little thing called academia got in the way.
Homecoming
got in the way. Gee whiz. But okay, so that being said, we did have some new signees on the roster. We saw, hey, welcome to the league, welcome to the club. And in, you know, Hallmark fashion, Knight Pickering just wants to go by Knight, which I'm fine with after a bicycle kick introduces yourself to the league. You know, that's going to do well. And on a night where Philip Goodrum was serving his time in accumulation. So,
because, you know, every striker gets 8 yellow cards. mean,
not every day.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it.
When he comes out, it's pedal to the metal. I love the fact. I think, is he the first striker since Wayne Rooney to get that many yellows?
I think this early. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, though? I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. He is the flea on the back of the butt of the dog when it comes to the opponents, man. He is just nagging at it.
I will let you tell him that comparison, because I'm not sure if that's correct, nor am I sure he wouldn't try to kick my ass.
You know,
I'll let you tell him that one.
I'm happy to. Listen, Nashville understands, okay? Nashville gets it, man. You just got to be a nagging thorn in the side and things happen. Case in point, Philip Goodrum.
Oh, man. He is, I tell you, he has given us a great return. Or as Ben Pyramid likes to call him, Kyle Murphy 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
If Kyle Murphy is King Kyle, then this has got to be Prince Philip.
Yeah. Oh, hands down, 110%. And you want to talk about numbers there. I think he's putting up kind of better than Kyle Murphy numbers when it comes to this stage of the season. Am I wrong there?
They're close. At the very least, they're close, give or take on either side. I think he's been very productive. And if you're wrong, it's not by much. I think right. It's a very accurate assessment. I think he has been, you know, quietly just assembling a magnificent season. And it's not necessarily just the goals, but the fact that he can put other players off. He plays hard mentally. Yesterday at practice, Ben was trying to dismiss practice, but Philip wouldn't stop working on his finishing drills. And Ben says, Philip, come over here. You can go back and practice more after practice, but I'd like to send the rest of these guys off to lunch if you don't mind.
How great is that? You know.
Well, he had Buckmaster, he had Segrist working on sending in crosses and finishing on. He would do like five or six headers.
Yeah.
Then he would do five or six with the left and five or six with the right.
Yeah.
And he is he's a hard worker. He doesn't just show up and it happens. I think he wants to move to the next level, and we're getting the benefit of that.
And you are seeing it week in and week out when it comes to these guys. The services in, and I, listen, we can get back to Malloy in just a second, because fantastic there. But the services in from all of the guys, Buckmaster putting balls in that quite honestly are just absolutely on silver platters for Philip Goodrum. But then all the way, you want to talk about Knight Pickering's amazing bicycle kick, that's served up on a platter thanks to a serve in, you know? I mean, so these balls, the practice has been, I think, at another level where guys are putting in the extra work and you're seeing the dividends now.
Well, and I'll even say flat out, Ben Pyramid recruits great players. Patrick Segrist has been fantastic on the wing, who goes unnoticed, but a guy that can unlock you with a through ball in the channel is a guy that probably shouldn't shoot, but is maybe one of our best passers is Leston Paul. Leston is fantastic on putting the ball through to space to get one of our guys on a run. I can't tell you how many times I've seen him set up either the ball that gives Goodrum an opportunity or the ball that is eventually passed to Goodrum to give him an opportunity.
As I look at my signed Leston Paul picture hanging up in the studio right now, oh, captain, my captain doing the work. And
he is.
And it's good to see. Finally, it almost feels like finally it's paying off. I mean, Leston Paul's the guy who's been there since almost day one. Right. And
sure. He's
seen this growth. He's seen this development. It is unfortunate, but also it's feeding into players like Aaron Malloy, who's earned another USL Championship Team of the Week honor. You know, Segrist time after time after time of, you know, getting these honors racked up to them.
Yes. And, you know, it's an interesting thing that we've got going on in Memphis, because we get players and then eventually they will move on and do some terrific things. I think Malloy is going to be the next one that moves on.
Oh, it's going to be hard to keep him. You know,
I mean, with his League One experience, he comes in and from the moment he sets foot on the pitch, he is already plug and play for this league. And with his passing, his toughness, I think he is He's a special one. We're going to look at some point and say, wow, hey, you know, sitting in, you know, maybe Celtic Crossing or our favorite, you know, down at the brass doors, like, hey, remember, he used to play in Memphis back in 22.
I remember when. Yeah.
But, and you kind of glossed over this, but I have to go back because I'm going to put you on the spot here with Knight Pickering, because I want to start a discussion, but then I've got a question for you about Knight Pickering.
Okay.
Yesterday I talked to Ben at practice about Knight, and he had the wonderful goal, which we can talk about maybe a little bit more in just a moment.
Yeah.
But I said, well, let's take that and lop that off. Tell me about his performance. Mm. And he thought he did a very good job. And I asked him a very specific question. You and I talked about this, and maybe others noticed this. When he got on the pitch, now there was a missed opportunity early on.
Yeah.
But between that and the goal that he scored, there were several runs that he made in which he did not receive the ball.
Yeah.
Over on, if you're looking at the camera, far side, if you're a season ticket holder over on the sideline, then it was near side for you.
Right.
And I asked him a very specific question. Was this a case of Knight not getting the ball on any of those instances because the players were not acclimated to him yet?
Mm-hmm.
Or was this a case of simply run of play? Or was this simply a case of where Knight was making the run, but he was not in a position to receive the ball yet, mm-hmm. but he is continuing to develop that part of the game? Let's make no mistake about this. This is not a criticism of Knight,
no.
Because, and I'm not saying he's the next Pele either, but I will say that the energy and the effort that he put on out there, he ran hard. He went to get to his positions hard. The reason that he scored is because he was in the right position. Mm-hmm. And Ben's answer to why he did not receive the ball was these were designed dummy runs to draw a defender. And think about this. Every time you saw him, who was with him?
Yeah.
A defender.
Yeah. At least one.
And he was doing what a proper footballer should do, mm-hmm. is making that run. And if he so happens to get the ball, okay, he makes that play. Mm. But he is spreading the field, allowing more passing opportunities. And in these instances, they went down the left side to, you know, say maybe Jeremy Kelly, maybe to Patrick Segrist,
right?
Or some other option.
And at that time, Laurent Kisiadou making his entrance again for a little more minutes at that time. Laurent is playing, I thought, really well, considering, right? And you're right. Laurent Kisiadou is coming down off that one side. And then here comes the youngin up the other side, closest to the side. I'm almost envisioning the exact play that you're talking about. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So he knew exactly what I was talking about and pointed out, you know, okay, this is what he had going on. So I followed up with him with a question that you and I also had while we were watching the match was, okay, you have scored this tremendous goal in your first outing as a professional. How will he respond in practice this week?
Yeah.
Will this be a case of, I am hungry, I want more, or is, oh man, this is easy,
I'm king of the castle,
I can coast a little bit.
Yeah.
Ben says he had a terrific week at practice, worked hard, and continues to fit in. So
that's really good, dude. That makes me really happy, because you start to wonder and almost fret, because he is young. He's 17. I think back to when I was 17. Oh my gosh, I knew more than God, right? And if you get that kind of ego stroke, especially in game one, you're looking at highlight reel of, you know what I mean? And people are talking about you nationwide. Oh, look at this 17-year-old. It goes to your head pretty quick. But to hear that he's still hungry, still putting in the effort, putting in the work, and then still learning, that's huge.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. And again, no, you know, we shouldn't go nuts off the sample size, But he did the right things that he needed to do, which is a great start. And hopefully this is just the beginning. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot here, buddy.
Do it.
All right. It's a beautiful goal, right? Against Hartford. He scored just a magnet. Knight Pickering scored a beautiful bicycle kick against Hartford.
Yep.
No doubt about it. Was it as good as Raul Gonzalez's match winner against Birmingham in stoppage time?
Oh, gosh. You know what, though? I think it's apples to oranges. Here's the reason why I say that. Because, one, and I'm not taking anything away from Hartford Athletic, but I am. Because
bless their heart.
Bless their heart. They're trying. And, I mean, they go through a new mid-season coaching change. Okay, when I say that, it was the assistant coach and, you know, they're moving on with their lives. I get it. But they're going through a lot of growing pains right now. Raul's goal in added time for the game winner was you are literally Michael Jordan at that point. You are calling the shot. Calling for the ball, it's there, and you do it in absolutely incredible fashion. I don't think that there is much topping that kind of bicycle kick. While it was phenomenal, it was great. Great way to enter into your career. Knight, here's the deal, buddy. You start doing that week in, week out, we start seeing 4 or 5 of those, you know, and I'm not saying they all have to be bicycle kicks by any stretch, but, you know, we start getting that on a regular basis. I think then you really do turn into something magical. You do turn into the Raul Gonzalez in added time, that unforgettable moment. I will never forget where I was when. So I think it was good, but Raul's was better.
I'm going to have to say, given the situation against a rival in added time, that would give it the Hall of Fame type of edge over what Knight did. Now, that being said, either ball was obviously going to go in regardless of the opponent and regardless of the score.
Agreed.
I will say this. That takes a lot of cojones for a 17-year-old right. to try that, even if you're winning right. 2-1 already.
Yeah.
The balls on that kid to do that amazing.
Yeah. No, he is. He's on a different level. I mean, that is some ego to take that shot, let alone. Right. And to do it in a way that looked good. Right. I mean, he didn't look like a flopping fish trying to do it. No, that was I've done this in my backyard countless times. That is literally the kid. I mean, we've all been there, done that. 3-2, boom, and bicycle kick in. But you're practicing that like in your backyard with no other opponent. This kid did it in real time. You know,
yes, in his first his first professional right. goal.
Right.
So it is certainly not to take away, but I also want to harken back because I'm 901 through and through.
Yeah.
Let's not forget what Raul Gonzalez did historically.
Raul, but
let's
cool
celebrate them both.
Gonzalez,
And let's also remember after Knight scored the goal, you could see the joy on his teammates' faces. They were happy for him, which means he's a good young man in the dressing room.
Yes.
And they have his back, which I think he's going to need their back against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is going to come out physical as hell. And if he comes in, they're going to give him a welcome to the league that Hartford couldn't give.
Listen, and he got put on his butt in his rear end a couple times. Welcome to the league kind of hits from Hartford. Not a known to be physical team. Pittsburgh is very much a physical team. The blue collar city, blue collar mentality, just like Memphis. This is going to be a very physical game. That being said, Mr. Tim Van Horn, we're going in limping. You just said we're going to have struggles when it comes to who plays where. Could you see maybe Knight stepping up? We get Philip Goodrum back because he served his time served kind of thing for his accumulation. So we get him back. That's two guys playing the same position. We can't really do that.
My concern is not at striker. My concern is at winger. Mm-hmm. My concern would be in the midfield distribution and covering when you might have, and we'll see when the lineup is unveiled Saturday night, when Pete Pranica and I bring that to you, 6 p.m. Central Time. We'll see who's going to be where in that midfield and in those winger positions. That's the concern, is who can pick up the mileage tab over 90 minutes.
Would you be surprised of a 17-year-old Knight Pickering picking up the midfield spot?
Yes. Yes, I would. At this moment, I would. I think he's up top. I think Philip can take some of the workload, because Philip Goodrum does quite a bit of running. My concern, and maybe this will be proved wrong, and if they've had a good recovery week, Kisiu Diu can stretch out some minutes. He can give you some ground as well.
I love me Kisiu Diu, man. My kid, he comes on the field and my kids even start screaming, Kisiu Diu, man.
I love that guy. We're going to miss Dotson tomorrow because he will give you 25, maybe 30 minutes of good, hard mileage out there. He has not been very productive for the team when it comes to goals.
Right.
But he works hard and he does help in pressing for the football. Mm-hmm. So there is definite value with Derek Dodson's presence out there, but we're gonna miss him. We're definitely gonna miss Niall Logue's presence. But I also want to give props on the return, and a very good return for Zach Carroll, because it was very difficult for him to crack back in the lineup, and he was one of the first that you would automatically pencil in this year,
and
the year before.
We talked about that. I don't know if we talked about it on the show or just you and I. It was like a who do you do? You know what I mean? Like, who is the top spot? Niall Logue playing lights out. I mean, Niall Logue has earned his he's here, he's there, he's every frickin' where, kind of chant. And so it was hard to put in Zach Carroll. I understood almost a little bit of Ben Pearman's plight when it came to, I mean, the guy's running a nonstop right now. Do you take him out? He's running hot. So Zach Carroll coming in off the bench, taking his, I don't want to say licks, but taking his time and serving it well off the bench. Now he's coming in the starter position. And I think having to play a little bit of mentor, if you will, with the new signee defender, Jackson Brady.
Yeah, and he hasn't played any minutes.
None.
So
0.0.
Yeah. A Faber College honor rollee, I guess. 0.0. But if he were to come in, then I think it would be on the necessity of basically a warm body at this point.
Yeah.
I can't tell you all that much about him other than he's been a local guy, mm-hmm. and now he's on the roster, and we'll see what happens. Now contrast that to Pittsburgh, and they have, according to their sheet, only Mark Ibarra is out for tomorrow night, and that's because of a red card suspension.
Yeah.
But also, they may be playing it coy with who's all knocked and dinged up, too.
Right.
I didn't want to say who's all knocked up. It's a men's match, so no, none of the men are knocked up.
but it is a very much a strategic place most of the time when it comes to coaches. They play their hand and don't play a hand. So it might be a little bit of poker face going on. But, Ben Pearman knows how to sign them. Clearly, do you question at this point? For a guy who has taken a club from we were struggling at the bottom of the barrel to here we are stressing about 2-3 points on a week because we don't want to slip, outside of the top three. Conversation that to me speaks volumes.
Yes. Yeah, it does. There is a system and there's a hard work ethic there, and they're going to need every bit of that tonight. I mean, we haven't even reminded folks, who Pittsburgh brings to the table. Goodrum's got 13 goals, Then you've got Russell Cicerone that's right behind him at 11. You've got Canardo Forbes, who has been fantastic for them. He is their free kick specialist. He's very dangerous. He and Malloy are tied at 8 goals apiece. And oh, by the way, have we ever scored a goal against Pittsburgh?
You know, and I'm doing the research on that. And the answer is no. We have yet to put one in the back of the net, which is so surprising. And yet, going back to when we started this whole thing, we were playing hobbled the last time they were here. They visited the Bluff City, and within 5 minutes of the match or whatever have you, we're playing with 10. And so
the two Graham Smith yellow cards in that match.
It will be interesting. We have to keep composure. Will we? I believe we will, simply because I think it's going to be drilled in the heads of all of our players from Pyramid, saying, guys, we don't have the luxury of, you know, but you put this team on the ropes and they win stuff that, quite honestly, or go to at least toe to toe with everybody in this league. That Lou City game, yes, they lost. But were there good things in that match? Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's the thing is Memphis now rarely lays an egg. A bit more about Pittsburgh. There's a guy you may have heard of him. Dane Kelly is still with them. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a league legend, but here's a couple of other names to throw out at you. Did you know that Edward Kiss is with them now?
I saw
he was on our roster.
He was on our roster.
He scored just as many goals for them as he has for us. Now I've jinxed it. Now he's probably going to score.
Kid's going to go off now. Thanks. But yeah, but Kizza was one of those players that I was really high up on. I was like, man, this is going to be great. He, of course, sounds like a Wu-Tang character. Yeah. This is great.
And plus, it looks like pizza.
Yeah.
With a K.
And it's cool, man. And I was excited when he was on our pitch. But yeah, he just didn't produce like at all. And is he producing for Pittsburgh? I'll tell you what he's doing really well. And that is he's playing the
traveling.
He's taking up a bed in the hotels. No, but, you know, he's playing the Dotson kind of character on Pittsburgh, where he is kind of mixing it up a little bit. He is kind of, you know, getting in the way, you know, and is that good? Well, in this league, yes, that could be the difference.
Yeah. There's one more name I want to give you, and he's never suited up for Memphis, but I try to keep an ear on the trade winds in the league of who may go where. And this is a name you'll remember from Atlanta United too. And that is Robbie Mertz. And Robbie Mertz was at one time rumored to come to Memphis this past season. And he is in Pittsburgh, and his combined stats, he's got 3 goals, 7 assists. He will be likely on the pitch getting significant minutes for Pittsburgh tomorrow night.
He was a teammate of Goodrum. Yeah.
Yep.
So let me tell you, there is going to be a little bit of, I would say, a little bit of ego boost kind of thing when it comes to those two playing against each other, because I am bigger than you. I am better than you kind of thing. That's going to come into play. You watch that matchup. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and I know Dixon, Forbes, Mertz, Cicerone, and Griffin, for the most part, were the attack last week. And I think that's pretty much going to be the lineup heading into this week as well, at least from the attack standpoint. So I think we know what we're going to be up against in this one. But I think the takeaway for the match is essentially going to be, our guys are dinged up. We're not going to really know how dinged up they are until we see the starting lineup. But seeing that we don't have Dotson, seeing that we don't have Logue, I think that is going to hurt. And
especially later in the match.
Guys that just haven't had nearly as many minutes.
Yeah, especially later in the match. That 75th, 80th minute, you're really going to see a lot of physicality come out, because you're going to have tired legs. You're going to be, at that point, you're going to be either down or ahead. And there's going to be some frustrations happening. There's going to be lost battles.
You think our friend Angie Zukowski, the athletic trainer, will be going out there with morphine shots like Saving Private Ryan?
That magic spray is going to get a workout. She just takes extra cans with her to Pittsburgh. That's all.
Oh, Oh, I know. I think you hit a great point later in the match is that could be a vulnerable point of contention for Memphis 901 FC. But you never know if they get on a hot streak and build a lead, and if they can take the crowd out of the match, anything can happen with this team. The only certainty I know is that the players that are out there will be ready mentally to play. We're going to see the effort.
We're coming off of the 6-point week, which is, I mean, phenomenal. I can't remember any other season where we've had multiple 6-point weeks, let alone going into a very hard stretch of 6 points. You know, we're going into Pittsburgh. After Pittsburgh, it's not over yet kind of thing. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens when because we go Pittsburgh, then we get New Mexico United, who comes out for their club. And then we have Birmingham.
Well, they're going to have to drive a long way because that's a home game for us, isn't it?
Yeah, we go from Pittsburgh and we travel basically across the country to New Mexico. And then we come back home for Birmingham, which, geez, I don't.
That's right.
It's no vacation. It's no walk in the park. I mean, Birmingham Legion, yes, you can argue that they're, you know, down the list, but they're only seventh. And we mentioned at the beginning of this thing that there are only points, minimal points separating 1 through 8. So every point's going to count here.
Yeah, New Mexico is going to be tough for us on the road. New Mexico, a pretty dark.